Tony Greenstein, British activist, author and prominent Yiddish anti-Zionist.
Okay, Tony Greenstein. Okay, thank you very much for inviting me today. Larissa here will be translating for you, for those who don't speak English. My first words are really to say that we live in a world turned upside down, that those who oppose genocide, those who have gone into factories and destroyed the machines and the drones that kill civilians and children in particular, are termed criminals, and those who produce the death machines are the heroes for the German state, and we know that at the trial of the Ulm 5 in Germany, which is restarting on Monday. Many of you will know that Zionism and being Jewish are seen as one of the same. And therefore, if you oppose Zionism or you oppose the State of Israel, which calls itself a Jewish state, you are therefore anti-Semitic. But on the contrary, Zionism was never a Jewish idea. The idea of Zionism, Christian Zionism, predated Jewish Zionism by four centuries. It was a product of the Reformation, Martin Luther. It had nothing at all to do with the Bible. I've said that Christian Zionism was the originator of Zionism, and in the 19th century it was the British imperialists, in particular Lord Palmerston, who was the Prime Minister and the foremost advocate of Christian Zionism, Lord Shaftesbury, who tried to persuade the Board of Deputies of British Jews, which was the communal representative, to support the idea of a Jewish settlement in Palestine. And it was British Jews and the Board of Deputies who refused to do so. Their concern was with emancipation, which took place in England, in Britain in 1858, and in Germany in 1870, not with returning, inverted commas, to Palestine. When Jewish Zionism emerged at the end of the 19th century, it was seen by most Jews as a form of Jewish anti-Semitism. Theodor Herzl, who was the founder of political Zionism, wrote in his diaries, page 83 if you're interested, that the anti-Semites will be our most dependable friends. The anti-Semitic countries are allies. And the reason for this was very simple. Those who were anti-Semitic wanted the Jews to leave their countries, and the Zionists said they were only happy to do so. So there was a symmetry between the Zionists and the anti-Semites, which continues to this day. It was British imperialism in the wake of the First World War that sponsored the Zionist settlement in Palestine. It was called the Balfour Declaration, named after Arthur James Balfour, who was a foreign secretary at the time. It's interesting to know, and this is only an aside, that in 1905 he introduced the Aliens Act, aimed at stopping Jews coming to Britain from Tsarist Russia. So he was an example of someone who was anti-Semitic but ardently pro-Zionist. And in 1917, in the Lloyd George War Cabinet, Lloyd George being the Prime Minister, The cabinet voted with one vote against to support the Balfour Declaration, and that one vote against was from Sir Edwin Montagu, its only Jewish member. We know that Germany is the most, or the German state, to be more precise, is the most ardent supporter of the Israeli genocide in Gaza. 30% of the weapons used by Israel have been sent from Germany. And it was summed up by Angela Merkel when she said that Israel was Germany's Staatsraison, its reason of state. And that is understandable, because when Germany and the German state looks at Israel, it sees its own image. There is nothing unusual in the German state supporting genocide. It began in Namibia, southwest Africa, in 1904 with the Nama Herero genocide and the administration of the extermination camp in Shark Island. And the doctor who was in charge of that, Eugen Fischer, went on. He practiced experiments, medical experiments on the Africans. He went on in 1927 to be the director of the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute of Anthropology, and he then trained the SS doctors, including Josef Mengele, in the science of racism, the racial sciences. So there is a direct connection between what happened in Africa in the first genocide and the Nazi Holocaust. And the genocide in Namibia was not the only genocide, of course. There was the Maji Maji genocide in East Africa, what is now Tanzania or Tanganyika. There was the genocide of the Armenians at the hands of the Turks, who were the allies of Germany in the First World War, and German officers were integrally involved in that genocide. And of course there was the Nazi Holocaust. And then now we have the Holocaust, or the genocide in Gaza. So there has been a consistency in German state support for genocide. The German state made what we call a Faustian pact with the Israeli state by giving reparations to Israel, usually in the form of military weapons, but also money. The German state became integrated into the Western Alliance. And it's worth bearing in mind, there was never any significant denazification in Germany. On the contrary, the closest advisor of Konrad Adenauer in the Federal Republic of Germany was Hans Globke, who was integrally involved in the implementation of the 1935 Nuremberg race laws. When Hitler came to power, and never forget, that he was never supported by more than 37% of Germans, which declined to 33% in November 1932, which is why the Conservatives put him in, Franz von Papen, and the German Deutsche National Volkspartei put him into power. In Germany itself, amongst the 500,000 Jews, just 2% were Zionists, and that's worth bearing in mind. It's also worth bearing in mind that the only section of Jewish opinion which welcomed the rise of Hitler was the leadership, and I say the leadership, not the rank and file necessarily, of the Zionist movement. When Hitler came to power, most Jews, 99% of Jews outside of Germany, instituted a boycott of everything German, not surprisingly. There was opposition from the Zionists. They wanted not to boycott, but to trade with Nazi Germany. And so when people tell you today that boycott, divestment and sanctions is anti-Semitic, all you have to do is to tell them it was the Jews who first put in the boycott of Hitler. And there is nothing, of course, anti-Semitic about boycott. What destroyed the boycott was the Zionist agreement to conclude in August 1933 a trade agreement with Nazi Germany called Havarah. It is very well known, though it isn't publicised by our mass media or Bild or anything else. But this was an agreement that enabled 60% of capital investment in Jewish Palestine to come from Nazi Germany. Literally, Adolf Hitler was responsible for the building of what became the Israeli state. But again, they will not tell you that. I said the leading Zionists often welcomed the rise of Hitler. One example is one of many. It's Nachman Sirkin Bialik, who is the Zionist national poet. He said that the arrival, the victory of Hitler, was rather a welcome thing because the Jews were being annihilated by assimilation. Of course, we know that Jews weren't annihilated by assimilation, but by the gas chambers. But that was the attitude of Zionism when Hitler came to power. And no one was more effusive than David Ben-Gurion or his deputy Bill Katznelson, who saw in the rise of Hitlerism an extremely welcome opportunity to build and achieve a Jewish state in circumstances which would not have been possible but for that. What I've been telling you and what I've been speaking about is the history you will never read about, but it is the history of Zionism and the history of anti-Semitism and what happens in Germany and elsewhere. Obviously, I don't have time to go into it, but I have written a book, Zionism During the Holocaust, which is on sale at the stalls over there, and I'm willing to sign the books, and they are €15. So I do encourage you to purchase it if you want. Just to say that when people tell you that it's anti-Semitic to support the Palestinians or to oppose genocide, we only have to look around the world today. Who are the people who support Zionism and the genocide? Viktor Orban and Geert Wilders, Tommy Robinson in the United Kingdom, Donald Trump, all the worst anti-Semites support Israel. Because really, there is nothing about Israel as an ethno-national state that they do not love. So thank you very much for listening to me. Hey, hey, hey.
There sind Menschen wie Tony Robinson in Großbritannien. Das sind Menschen wie Donald Trump und Menschen wie Orban. Das sind alles Antisemiten und genau deshalb unterstützen sie Israel als Ethno-Nationalstaat. Vielen Dank. Ja.